Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on the last day of the year on early break. Steve Sipple out. He'll be at the bowl game. Bill Bush also out. Jake Sorens with Nick Sanders, special guest who filled in for the first 2 days of the week. Thank you again for that swim. This hour sponsored by friends at NEBCO, now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production labor. Check him out online at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. Appreciate all the response today, keeping us company here as we are again. It is 8:06 where we are usually at in Lincoln. It is 6:06 a.m., which means we got up in the 3 o'clock hour. In Swim's case, he didn't go to bed in the 3 o'clock hour. I did for a couple hours, so thank you for hanging with us. And again, I know we're not in the studio, but we're doing the best we can to make the show as good as possible. And thanks to our sponsors again, Amigos Kings Classic, Advanced Medical Imaging, Ben Bleicher of PRG, Berkshire Hathaway, Ambassador Real Estate, and MWR Building and Fence for making our trip to Las Vegas possible to cover the game today. Nick, I was looking during the break at today's schedule of games, and like I told you last night that when I went out to California a couple years ago and I was watching the NFL, I could get over the fact that the game started at 10 a.m. and they start at 9 a.m. for college. Like, I can't get over the fact that we've got a bowl game, you know, Vanderbilt, Iowa, in the ReliaQuest Bowl. It says 9 a.m. this time, 11 a.m. Central Time. That's, of course, in Tampa. There's going to be a bowl game here at 9 a.m. Vegas time. I can't get over that.
That's remarkable. I love that.
But that's every
game. I love
that. But college game day, man, if it's a regular Saturday in, you know, say, October, guess what? Games start at 9 a.m. this time.
Yeah, I can't imagine what NFL Sundays are like because you're getting games that – so here's what's crazy. The games out in overseas are starting at 6:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
Think about that one.
Well, I was watching, Nick, a couple years ago. I was at a wedding in November in California, and the Dolphins played in Germany against the Chiefs. Yeah, and it was seriously like a 6:10 start for an NFL game. Mm-hmm. That's insane to me, but it's crazy. All right. So Nebraska, of course, plays today, 2:30. That'd be 12:30 our time in Vegas, 2:30 Nebraska time. There are other games before we get to the playoff today. Do not forget to mention Vanderbilt, Iowa. On that game real quick, Nick, I feel like before bowl season, so let's go back to the Sunday after conference title games. This is before the Heisman's announced. Like, I think the nation's pulling for Vanderbilt because Diego Pavia has been a great story. Yeah. And they're 10-2, and then Pavia, does not win the Heisman. He kind of gets lippy with that reaction. Is the nation like pulling for Iowa now because of that? I don't understand. Like, there's been a kind of a flip in terms of how people look at Diego Pavia in general.
There's been a flip. Now, I don't know if there's been a dramatic of enough flip to where people are starting to cheer for Iowa. I don't know. This has got to be one of the most popular games to have fans cheering for neither team. They want both teams to lose. That feels like this right now. I'm interested to see what Iowa looks like on special teams. Like, we forget LeVar Woods not there anymore.
That matters. That's big.
It is a big deal. Like, there is a big piece that's been there for the last X amount of years that's not going to be there. Maybe we don't see it, you know, play out and cause issues today, but that's something that going forward we'll have to watch with the Iowa Hawkeyes. But no, I think you're right that the narrative has shifted on Diego Pavia, and I'm not surprised that it has because of the way that he acted when he was not named the Heisman Trophy winner. But then also Vanderbilt's just kind of been that team, though. Diego Pavia has been pretty outspoken all the way back at SEC Media Days talking about Alabama and that whole situation there. Clark Lee just kind of comes up out of nowhere and is this guy that just has this incredible amount of confidence and for the most part was able to back it up until the later parts of the year. I just don't know if anybody actually wants either side to win this game today between Iowa and Vandy.
Vanderbilt, 4.5-point favorites that game. Again, it's at 11 a.m. Central Time, 9 a.m. this time in Tampa in the Reliant Quest Bowl. Arizona State, Duke, yeah, in the Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl in El Paso, a place that our good friend Steve Sippel would love to go to. He loves El Paso, wants to go to that bowl game every year. That is at 1 p.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. this time on CBS. Michigan and Texas at noon this time, 2 p.m. Central Time on ABC in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Curious how that looks with, again, obviously you won't see Whittingham coaching the game for Michigan, but he'll be there. He's not going to be at this game for Nebraska, Utah. Yeah. He is now the Michigan head coach, so he is done with Utah. And it's funny, we had him on the show, you know, less than 2 weeks ago on early break, and it's just incredible how he was the Utah head coach, about to coach his last game. It's going to be the last, you know, the last go-around before Scally takes over. Now that's not going to happen. He's the head coach of Michigan. So life comes at you fast.
It does. Bill and I talked to Spencer Checkitz of ESPN Radio out in Salt Lake on Monday. Great conversation with Spence. And one of the things, Jake, that I think it was perfectly describing Kyle Whittingham and his move to Michigan is that while at Utah, he was a college football story. But now within the first 5 minutes of being Michigan's head coach, he becomes a national sports story. And so I thought that was really interesting and a really good way to kind of illustrate the differences, but also the difference in pressure that is at both spots. Kyle Whittingham, for whatever reason, felt like it was the time to step down, to retire, not retire, because he never used the words retire,
yep,
but he felt like it was the time. It was the time to step down. Now is that with some extra nudging from the you know, administration, maybe, but nonetheless, there's going to be a lot of Michigan fan eyeballs on this Las Vegas Bowl today. Bill and I talked about it over the last couple of days, to where there's an offensive coordinator that it might be going with Kyle Whittingham from Utah to Michigan. If that's the case, there's going to be a lot of Michigan fans with eyeballs on this Utah offense. And the biggest question, we talked about TJ Lateef earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. Biggest question in college football potentially is, what is Bryce Underwood going to do?
Yeah. And right now, I don't know, Nick, because he was not overly impressive this year. Certainly showed flashes of greatness, but for someone that was probably making a lot of, you know, up to $4 million potentially in NIL, as a report there, you know, lots to be desired. The record was okay. The team was a ranked team. Like, they're solid, but yeah, you're right, Nick. Does he stay at Michigan or does he go elsewhere? Who knows with that one? And then the last game, of course, today is the playoff game, the first one. So three games tomorrow, one game tonight in the playoff. That'll be Miami and Ohio State. That is at 4:30 Vegas time, 6:30, of course, Central Time.
Oh, no. That's in the middle of our nap time, Jake.
I know it is. Yeah, it really it is.
Oh, no.
So the Buckeyes are 9.5-point favorites. No. I'll tell you this, Miami, I had not watched a lot of them this year. I haven't watched a ton of Ohio State either because, you know, they're always blowing teams out mostly. But this should be a low-scoring game, right? The over-under is 40.5. Both teams have very, very good defenses. Miami just held A&M to 3 points on their home field last week. And Ohio State's been an incredible defense all year long. You just kind of perked up. You think that the under's the bad take in this one.
Yeah, I think I see this game. First off, it's indoors. A big part of why there was only 3 points scored for Texas A&M last week is because there was gale-forced winds that was going on at Kyle Field down in College Station. I think if Miami wants to win this game, they're going to need to score the ball. I think that's the case there.
That's how you win games, Nick. You score points.
Thank you. I know it's some real cutting edge analysis coming from the 11th floor of the Virgin Hotel today. but anyway, I think that seriously though, is they're not going to be able to win this.
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off of your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. But Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. And if your identity is ever stolen, you are backed up by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support to help you recover quickly. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See the site for details.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Game 10-3 against Ohio State, in my opinion. No matter how good Miami's defense is, Ohio State's a program that has been here before. The Ohio State's a program that beat Oregon bad last year when Oregon was the favorite to win the national championship at times in the college football playoff last year. This is an Ohio State team with one of the best receivers, if not the best receiver in all of college football, in Jeremiah Smith. This is an Ohio State team, like you said, that has a really good defense. And they have a really good quarterback in Julian Sain, who manages it well. I think that this is going to have to be like a 28-24 type of Miami win if the Hurricanes want to come away with this win.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be a great story now. Obviously, for the Big Ten, it'd not be a great story. But the ACC needs something here. You know, they need some sort of thing to lean on. Of course, with Duke winning the league with a 7-5 record going in, it's not a great look for the league. You know, Clemson, of course, loses to Penn State, and they fire their OC. You know, Lincoln Riley's brother is gone at Clemson. Like, the ACC just is in such shambles right now that, like, yeah. I almost, again, for the sake of the Big Ten, Ohio State, you want them to win, but I respect that conference for a long time. I don't want to see them just go away and just be a non-factor. And so I'm glad they beat A&M to get to game two, but I think you're right. It doesn't look great for Miami, but certainly, you know, Julian Sain, like you said, first playoff game. He's played in big games this year, but he has not played in a playoff game yet.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And that's maybe where we see potentially the difference between Carson Beck and Julian Sain. I think some of the quarterback matchups this weekend are really interesting. There's endless storylines. Obviously, with Georgia and Ole Miss, you have the coaching storylines with Pete Golden. And what does it mean if Kirby Smart loses to Pete Golden at Ole Miss this weekend? That's the most expensive get-in price out of the four playoff games is Georgia and Ole Miss. That's the night game on New Year's Day. But I think that when you look at some of the quarterbacks in this one, a lot of them are transfers, but then also a lot of them are experienced guys. Fernando Mendoza is experienced and now obviously a Heisman Trophy winner. Dante Moore has plenty of games under his belt. They always talk about how once you get past game four, game five, you're not a freshman, even if that's what your classification is. And so we get to find out some of the best athletes in the college football playoff time, because this is where we see guys like Julian Sain really make a name for themselves in all of college football.
Oh boy, we got a take on the YouTube chat here, Nick. We got to assess here.
This is going to be great.
John, and this is not even a take on us. This is a coworker of ours, Nick. John on YouTube says this: your colleague at the Ticket, Austin Orman, says he doesn't care about how other Big Ten teams fare in the bowl games. Disgusting. We should support other Big Ten teams for many reasons. I mean, I think right now the Big Ten is proud of the 6-1 record. And like I said, last night, USC was about to win in overtime before TCU had a miracle touchdown to win the game. If USC wins, the Big Ten is 7-0. And I think it does matter because, like I just said earlier in the show, you've got opt-outs from Notre Dame, Kansas State, Iowa State. You're trying to prove that, hey, the bowl games are not dead. Yes, the playoff is obviously what matters most, but we want to know that teams and leagues still care about these bowl games. And the Big Ten clearly does. So I'm not taking a shot at Austin. John was there, but I think it's nice to have to it just kind of further confirms how good or bad your season was or how good or bad your teams are to a certain extent.
I'm actually going to
side with Austin.
More so agree with Austin than disagree with Austin. And here is why. I think that there's something to be said about the opt-outs. Everybody wants to give Notre Dame so much crap and Iowa State and Kansas State. They have to do school specific, what's best for them as a program, right? Like Iowa State has less than 20 players on their roster actively. Yes. Were they really going to be able to field a competitive team of guys that wanted to be there to just go play a football game? Like, were they going to be able to do that? I don't think so. Hmm. They barely have a full coaching staff, if they even do yet. Kansas State is the same conversation there. I just don't know. Like, those aren't programs like Penn State that they just have, like, this acting interim head coach for the last 2.5 months. And, like, things are just business as usual for them to play in a bowl game. And there's just a new coach there watching from the press box. That's not the case. I mean, Penn State literally hired Matt Campbell just a couple of weeks ago. And you expected Iowa State to be able to field an entire team as these guys are all – opting out of their national letter of intents, like minute after minute. Yeah. Like they're that's just not realistic. And so I struggle to like sit there and say, okay, hey, you know what? That tells me that the Big 12 isn't serious about football, but the Big 10 is. No, because guess what? If Nebraska would lose their coach a week before they were supposed to play in a bowl game, potentially, like you want Nebraska to just throw 16 guys out there like that. Don't sit here and tell me you care about the betterment of the student athlete. Then if that's what you want to have,
I don't know if I'm not really attacking K-State and Iowa State. I mean, I'm attacking Notre Dame. I'm taking after that. That's still sad what they're doing. It's a joke what they did. I'm sorry. Well, we can fight that all you want, Nick. I will not defend Notre Dame. But why is it not okay for teams in the Big Ten to support each other right now? In 1 month of the season, huh?
I struggle to cheer for like
I'm not rooting for Iowa today, but I'll root for I don't care. I have nothing against Notre Dame or excuse me, Northwestern or USC last night. I was pulling for them to win. Why not?
I'm not pulling for Iowa. I think it's possible to enjoy a college football game without wanting one team to win over the other. That's how I feel about all these teams. Now, is it great? Like, is it, I don't know. I would ask the question, if the Big Ten was 3-4 in bowl games, are we going to not look at the Big Ten as like the second or number one conference in college football? It's not like they're going to lose their spot as a top two conference in college football with the SEC.
Yeah. But here's the thing though, Nick, is that for years, the Big Ten was having bad times in bowl games. They were having embarrassing records and they weren't winning championships. Ohio State was not winning titles. You didn't have, Michigan did, but the Big Ten was figuring out. They had about a 10-year stretch where just the Big Ten was doing bad in bowl games. They weren't winning titles. And it was like, where are we as a league? And then something changed. Ohio State won. Michigan obviously won. And now you have a chance to have a third straight title in the league as your other teams are also winning bowl games. So it just further enhances that, hey, this league truly is on top. And we're coming for the SEC, who's had a bad bowl season thus far, including Illinois beating Tennessee yesterday on a walk-off field goal in the Music City Bowl. Yeah. So it's little things add up, Nick. For all the dominance SEC had for years, like you've kind of quickly chipped away at this whole notion of SEC dominance.
Well, I mean, here's this. Bill brought this up on Tuesday's show, and I'm going to piggyback off of his thought here. Ohio State and Michigan have won the last two national championships. This is a big year for the SEC. They do not want to allow three consecutive Big Ten title winners So if you are a team like Alabama, if you are a team like Ole Miss or Georgia, you're sitting there thinking we have to be the representative and we need to win because the Big Ten has won two in a row. We do not want to allow that to be three in a row. And how about this? I think the worst case scenario for the SEC is if Indiana wins it this year. If Indiana wins the national championship, not only is that the third national title in a row for the Big Ten Conference, it's the third school to do it. It was Michigan and then Ohio State and then Indiana. That doesn't show that it's not just one team that's overall dominant in the Big Ten Conference across the country. It is three teams, Michigan, Ohio State, and then Indiana. This is a massive, massive couple of weeks coming up for the SEC because they cannot allow, for their pride sake, they cannot allow the Big Ten to win three straight.
Well, like you said, Nick, it's not just pride. If it's Indiana of all the teams who's been horrific forever, and they it just proves, again, Cignetti, who was already a coach in the league at one point with Saban at Alabama's assistant coach, and, you know, I mean, if Indiana beats Bama tomorrow, and again, I think they're 7-point favorites, I believe, Nick, because I checked last time, they're 7-point favorites. Just think about
the weather's starting to clear up too.
Just think about what that says about like college football. And yes, we know Cignetti is an outlier, and that's a positive thing. It's impressive what he's done. But if they can do it, if Indiana can win the Big Ten and beat Alabama in a playoff game, like it further proves that anybody can do it. Anybody's alive. Nebraska fans are so down about, we'll never get back there. Why not? Like, it's happening at Vanderbilt, who barely missed the playoff. Indiana's the one seed. Like, it can happen. So you should be more hopeful than ever before. And I'm not sure fans are actually feeling that way.
Yeah, I think hopeful, but also you need to see some proof in the pudding. And that can start today. And I think one big thing about Indiana, because a lot of people will criticize them for their easy non-conference slate. Kurt Cignetti is not shy about saying, hey, why would we schedule a tough non-conference game when we're going to play in one of the best conferences in college football? And he can say that, and people can pass that off as it's okay to say that. Why? Because he's been able to go to Oregon and win on the road in a monsoon in Eugene. He's been able to beat Michigan. He's been able to win the Big Ten championship over Ohio State. Like, this is he's been able to back up every single thing that he says. I say it often. I'll say it again. I hate how much I respect the crap out of Kurt Cignetti because every little thing he says, he can back it up.
I love Cignetti. Why would you feel that kind of thought towards him, Nick?
I hate how much I respect him.
Lifetime.
No, he's not. Easy. I hate how much I respect him because the dude talks so much junk, and to this point, nobody has been able to shut him up.
I think you have to just keep bringing up every time that you bring up Cignetti, just the fact he's lost two games at Indiana and their team, both teams have played in last year's national championship. That's it. That's all. Incredible.
Yeah.
He's the man. Last one, Nick. I tell you what, this game should be good, but for some reason, I have no interest in it. Ole Miss, Georgia. You mentioned that game a little bit ago, but like that to me is clearly the That to me is like my fourth game of interest, like by far in the playoff. Like you mentioned, the storyline with Kiffin gone. I get that. We already saw the game this year. It's a rematch, and it was a great game. But I don't like seeing rematches in the playoff. Now it might happen with Ohio State, Indiana, if they made it in the finals. That's a different story, a title game, but in terms of the first round, like, I already saw this game and I liked it, but I don't need a round two. Really don't.
I'm a fan. I think this game is going to be one of the best. In all honesty, I think that when you look at so let's go through the rankings. Let's rank these games from most interested to least interest in. For me, it goes Alabama, Indiana.
One.
And then number one, I would absolutely agree. So this is where we're going to differ. I would put Ole Miss, Georgia, and then
four. That's number four.
I know it is. Clear. And then I would put Texas Tech, Oregon at third, and then Miami and Ohio State at four.
Yeah, Texas Tech, Oregon's two, and then Miami, Ohio State 3, and then, you know, 4th or maybe 10th would be Ole Miss, Georgia. I'll watch the game. Obviously, it's a playoff game. I don't know. Mm-hmm. SEC versus SEC in that round, don't want to see it. Don't care. I care, but to a lesser extent. It's over the top. I know. But can't wait. In that first game tonight of the playoffs, 6:30 p.m. local time, 4:30 our time in the middle of our potential nap prior to New Year's Eve festivities. But we will certainly watch as much as we can in the highlights, if not. And there's a chance we don't nap at all. There's a chance we just, you know, drink a lot of caffeine and just keep going, Nick. You never know.
I will be napping.
And I have promised to you that once we are off the air and you're doing your first hour of the drive, at least I will deliver a coffee to your room. We are not in the same
Thank
room.
You.
I've getting texts from everyone saying, turn your light on. I said, the lights are on. I have every light in the room on. I don't know what to tell you about this. I've double checked. Every light in the room is on. I'm as light as I possibly can be.
Whatever floats your boat. No, I need the coffee. I got 1 hour. I told AD I'm sticking around for the first hour of the drive. And then it's going to be shower time and get ready. Cause we got credentials to pick up. We got a couple of errands to run. We got to make sure we get Ubers and everything. And I'm sure there'll be some sort of Utah send off that we'll have to work around down in the lobby of our hotel. And so better to be, what is it called? Early is on time is late, and late is just plain unacceptable. That's the motto we're using today.
Ending the year with great cliches to keep us on track. I love it.
There you go. I just want to keep you happy. Nick.
When we come back, there is significant news that still is shocking me in the Big Ten of a coaching change. Not a head coach, but a coordinator. I'm going to discuss that next on Early Break in the Ticket from the Base.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.